And that's how that came about.
Can you tell me more about how the 1982 farming fail affected your family?
Well, it didn't affect my family very much. My father, you're talking about like my father and my brother at the family farm? Or
your immediate family, you as a in the job field.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. There were really a number of problems that all came together at the same time. Alice Chalmers was a very weak company. Mm-hmm. And they'd had a big company, a lot of different divisions. Farm machinery was only part of it, but they'd not had the best management all through the 70s. So when I went to work for them, they were not one of the top tier farm machinery companies. And in the eastern, in upstate New York and New England and Pennsylvania, most of their business was with dairy farmers. Well, in 1982, the dairy business was very bad. Milk prices were very low. And they had what's called the dairy buyout. They actually were too many cows around. And so the federal government came up with a program where they paid farmers to sell their cows and not milk cows anymore. So all of a sudden you had these dairy farmers that didn't have to milk cows. They didn't have to take out the manure. They didn't have to make as much hay. So they didn't need as much equipment. And at the same time, in 1980, 81, and 82, you had interest rates above 16%. So borrowing money to buy a piece of equipment was very, very expensive. You know, even car financing was 12, 14%. You can't imagine what that's like, but at that time, the interest rates to buy something were super high. So that was a general recession, and anybody had to buy big equipment. So the farm machinery business in the early 80s was very, very tough and difficult to make sales, to get dealers to order equipment, to get dealers to pay for it after they got it, and then to find somebody to sell it to retail. So it was very stressful, very tough. And I looked at running my own hardware store as something that had to be easier than trying to get somebody to buy a $40,000 tractor. Nowadays, $40,000 is a small tractor, but back then, $40,000 was a big tractor. Okay, let's pause.
So how did this depression during the 1980s affect your personal family life?
Well, it just made working for a farm machinery company as a stressful thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it made me look ever more hopeful at opening my own business. And but otherwise, I wasn't terrible for my family life. I was married, and I had a baby in 1983, and by then we were looking at starting the hardware store business, and then that took a while to do, so it was 1984 before that all really got to the point where we could I could quit Alice Chalmers and go to work for myself.
What was it like being a small business owner?
Well, there's a great deal of satisfaction and a great deal of stress, all mixed together. In a retail business, you're dealing with customers all the time. And luckily, the hardware store business, almost everybody is your customer. They almost always are coming into the store because they need something. Okay? So it's important to figure out what they are going to anticipate what they're going to need and try to have it. That was one thing that this hardware store we bought had kind of neglected, was their inventory was always, well, we got one, but we don't have two of something. And so we went into business and immediately started increasing the inventory, and that increased the sales. So that worked out pretty well. And we were open 7 days a week, so they could get stuff most all the time. But there was, I think the biggest stressor in being a small businessman is the employees that work for you, okay? Either you've got to overlook mistakes and neglect, or you've got to do every single thing yourself, you know? And I tended to try and do as much myself as I could. That's why I ended up working 7 days a week, because I never wanted to be away from there in case something didn't go right. But it was, for the most part, satisfying. Bookkeeping is a problem. At the time, my former wife was our bookkeeper, and that was pretty much taken care of. I did all the ordering and a good share of the sales. I had some great people from time to time working for us, and some other ones that didn't work out. But I think that's pretty typical of small retail, you know. But we worked and paid off our loans and increased the size of the business and bought the property and bought some more property and remodeled the store and got bigger and so forth and so on. So,
can you describe to me in detail some of the specific problems you face with your employees?
Well, they always want more money than you're willing to pay them. They always want more time off than you're willing to give them. Just motivating people to do things up to the level that you would do them yourself, okay, I guess is what you might say about like that. And so it was I had some great folks that worked for me and older guys in the hardware store, you always find old guys, you know, old guys that knew what to do and how things worked and how things could be fixed and stuff like that. As those guys got scarcer, I had some young guys that were really good too. And then I had some other ones that just didn't really put forth all the ambition that I thought they could have. But you know, that was just my feeling of stuff. So,
what challenges did your family maybe come into from you working 7 days a week?
Well, that's actually a pretty good question. We didn't travel very much. We kind of reduced, and not intentionally, but just because we were always busy, some of the contact with family and friends. I have to give credit to my wife, Kay, that when we started really being serious with each other, she encouraged me to do more to get back in contact with my family. Always having to coordinate things between home things and work things. And work was a pretty high priority, and probably the higher priority much of the time. But our son, we have one child. I have a son, and he grew up at the hardware store. He had a place to play, he had a place to work and do school work, and just his own spot, which was kind of typical of small business families. The kids are hanging around the business, whether they like it or not. I don't think that was. And then the bookkeeping took more and more of my wife's time, I think, than either she or I anticipated, but we had no way of knowing. We had nothing to compare it to. She was also a very, very much a perfectionist about bookkeeping, so what other people might not have spent so much time at, she spent a lot of time at. So that took a lot of time. But it's running a small business definitely has an impact, like running a full-time farm, on a family, what a family does other than the business.
How do you feel your son's upbringing was shaped around hanging around the hardware store?
Well, the one thing that happened was we lived in another school district. Our residence was in a different school district than the hardware store was. And when he got into ninth grade, he actually moved over to this school district. So he would ride to the store in the morning, go to school, and then after school he'd be at the hardware store until after closing time, and then we'd go home. Now that was okay because it was a bigger school with more sports than the school district that we lived in, and I think a few more academic opportunities. So I think academically and activities wise, it was probably an advantage. And then in the summertime, he spent a lot of time over there. Not all the time, but he spent a lot of time over there. But he used to have his bike over here, and he'd ride around and go to the golf course and go out and do stuff. And there were more kids in town that he could see than there were out by where we lived in the country. So I think for the most part, it was probably an advantage. He definitely saw that he didn't want to go into retail after seeing how many hours we put in. And now he's a doctor, went to medical school, and now he's a doctor. And so he puts in hours, but he doesn't work 7 days a week.
Do you feel that working so much had a negative impact on your relationship with your son as he grew up?
Oh, probably a little bit, probably. But I'm not a real close relationship person in some respects. I think since I got out of the hardware business and now don't work so much, that I have a better time with that. But I'm not a person that calls up and talks to a lot of people. We don't visit frequently and stuff like that, because I enjoy my time here at home with my wife. And
did you face competition from big corporation hardware stores like Ace or True Value?
Well, we were a True Value store. And those are individual, mostly individual family-owned stores. So the big competition was you know, Home Depot and Lowe's and Central Tractor and things like that, big box stores. And we could see there were, in Richfield Springs, there used to be three other hardware stores. And they kind of all petered out, and we ended up being the last one. And but you could tell when Home Depot opened that some of the categories that we sold in our store stopped doing as well. And then when Lowe's opened in Herkimer, it was further competition. You know, Richfield Springs being where it is, the top of a hill in the wintertime, people don't always want to run to the valley all the time. And they don't like going to Cooperstown, especially in the summer. And Oneonta's a long ways. So we were lucky that we were as far from these other towns as we were, because that kept some of the business in town. You know, if we were in Ilion, and you had Lowe's in Herkimer, which is only 6 miles away, zoop, people are going to Lowe's all the time. They go there every day. But those big stores definitely set the tone for price and stuff like that. Now, you get down there and there's nobody that can help you find something or tell you how to fix something, which is what the hardware store was good for. So, but yeah, competition was a big problem.
Can you describe to me what led to you closing your hardware store?
Well, in 2000, and, well, let's back up a little bit. In the middle 2000s, the store was perking along pretty well. And our son had graduated from high school, and he graduated from college, and he was in medical school. And so he was not here, and my wife, who was a bookkeeper at the time, got more involved in church activities, and she became a lay speaker in the Methodist Church, and she came from a family of ministers. Her father was a Presbyterian minister. So she felt called to become a minister. And in 2007, she moved from Richfield Springs to Decatur, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, to attend seminary full-time. And expected that we would hire and employ a full-time bookkeeper to take her place. Well, the full-time bookkeeper concept didn't work all that well. I ended up doing some of the bookkeeping that I could handle. And some of it went long distance, and that is not a way to successfully continue a business or personal relationship. It just was too tough. And so finally I came to the conclusion that I was not going to run the business under those circumstances. And so I had heard that this company that now runs the store in my building had a history of buying out independent hardware stores for their family-run chain. So I contacted them, Wabashan Hardware, and met with them, and they said, yeah, we've done that a number of times. And so it took us a while, but we worked out a deal where they bought out the business, and I announced I was going to close at a certain time, and they were going to take over at a certain time, which is a week apart. So that was pretty consistent transition from Anderson's to their business. And we had a giant auction and sold everything in the hardware store at an auction. And I retired from the business. So it took about 3 years to one thing led to another kind of deal. But that's what happened.
Can you tell me about the personal strain that you went through during those 3 years with your wife in Georgia and you deciding you didn't want to run this business anymore?
Well, I don't think I'm really going to discuss that with you today. Okay?
So, can you tell me about the job that you did next after the selling of your hardwood store?
Yep, you keep saying hardwood store. You mean hardware store,
yeah,
right?
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Well, I the people that took over the hardware store were not in the power equipment, chainsaw business like I was. So part of the deal was I kept that part of the business and moved to another location in Richfield Springs. And I didn't sell hardware, and they didn't sell chainsaws, and so we weren't competing with each other because I had an agreement not to compete with them. So for a year and a half after I closed the hardware store, I ran a small engine repair shop, and I also sold boat docks, which is another product line that I'd had at the hardware store. And I kept those product lines and ran that for a year and a half with one employee and myself. At the same time, I trained and became a school bus driver. So... but by the end of 2010, which was a year and a half later, we determined that the small engine shop was not going to make it. And I was getting more and more into bus driving, so I announced I was closing the small engine shop entirely, which was in a rented building, so it was not tough to close. And went out of business, and I've been driving school bus for Richfield Springs Central School since before then, but full-time since 2010. So that's my career now. And I'm still landlord of the hardware store building, so I, you know, keep an eye on and maintain the building there. But my main career now is driving school bus. And then when school's not in session in the summertime, the last three summers, I've driven the tourist trolley in Cooperstown. So that's my summertime job. And in 2010, I married Kathleen, and... we have a full-time job taking care of each other here.
Can you tell me about how you met Kathleen?
Well, Kathleen and I met almost 30 years ago when my son and her son and daughter were in pre-K. We knew each other then. Mm-hmm. And the K's lived here for over 30 years and taught school in Richfield for over 30 years. So she was a customer at the hardware store, and I knew her from that. And then she'd been single for quite a while, so I've sold her sump pumps and stuff like that that required once in a while coming to the house and checking on the sump pump. And then we became closer friends when I started going to the same church that she's gone to for a long time. And then we just got reacquainted. And fell in love. And we've been married for a little over 5 years.
Can you tell me how you asked Kay to marry you?
How did I ask you to marry me?
You contacted the jeweler and...
We got a ring from the jeweler.
Right, and you said to me it was kind of a surprise because you said you have snackies. I have a friend coming over to visit, and that's when the ring arrived.
Oh.
You had asked me before then why did I never marry in the 20-some-odd years, and I said I was never going to get married again. So I learned never to say never.
Yeah.
Negatives.
I talked her into getting married. She knew about the ring before it. She knew that there was going to be a ring because she'd already given me the specs. Got to be a certain amount, this and that and the other thing. So the ordering of the ring we did together. And then when it came in, you know, so it was a kind of implied that we were going to get married. But then, and I actually never did really truly pop the question, did I, honey? Not in so many words like on TV.
No.
No,
it wasn't a down on your knees thing.
No, we didn't do the romantic movie down on your knee thing, but I think it didn't take us long to determine that at some point we were going to get married.
That we belong together.
Right, we belong together, yeah. But we're old-fashioned enough that we felt that getting married was the right thing to do. And I figured if I got married, she couldn't throw me out too easy. So I was safer.
Well, Mr. Anderson, we have about 5 minutes left. Is there anything that you would like to talk about?
Nothing particular that I would like to talk about. You know, just
learn to love felines.
Yeah, I have learned to become a cat person. And when we had two dogs at the hardware store. That was one of the characteristics of the hardware store, was we had two dogs there. Mm-hmm. And Kay would bring dog bones into the dogs. We had Sally and Molly. Mm-hmm. And they'd been there, oh gosh, quite a few years. We got them as pups. And they lived in the cashier station, so people would come in and they wanted to see the dogs. And then Molly got ill and we had to put her down. And Sally stayed there. She was 14 when she died. And had her through closing the store, and we had her at the other shop. And then when I closed that, she came up here and lived here for a couple of years. And then in 2012, she just got old and serious health problems, so we had to put her down. But Kay's dog died, what, 08?
Rolls-Royce, yeah, old English sheepdog.
Yeah, in 08, Kay's sheepdog died. That was before Sally moved in. And then since then, we've just had cats. And we've got some cats here who are 20 years old. And then they're all mostly old. We have a couple of strays that we call our fresh air children. And they come in and out. And Kay's always had a stray's welcome sign up. So I'm a stray, and I'm welcome too. You know, I'm not a stray any longer. I'm mostly domesticated now. But so I've become a cat person.
And you married one Amore and got two free.
Yep. It's a buy one, get two free thing, because Kay's daughter, Brittany Amore, and the granddaughter, Emily Amore. So I say I married one Amore and got two free. So they live in Hartwick. And Emily's 12. She's the swimmer. She's the one that swims. So that's the extent of the family deal there.
What are some activities that you and Kay like to do together?
Well, we like to travel. We do what we are called mini moons. Mm-hmm. Instead of a big elaborate honeymoon, once we try at least once a year to have a mini moon. It might be overnight or it might be two or three nights. This year we took a mini moon and went to Honesdale, Pennsylvania, and rode on a train and visited some people that I knew down there and came back. That was an overnight. And
Tennessee.
We took a 8-day bus trip with about 60 senior citizens to Nashville and Gatlinburg and Asheville. That was a lot of fun. And last year we did a 3-night river cruise on the St. Lawrence River. And so we like to travel together. We do the house repairs. We've remodeled pretty much the whole downstairs of the house, and done a lot of that kind of thing. I have an antique car, a 1954 Chrysler, that I get out sometimes. And
we enjoy rock and roll.
We enjoy 50s and 60s rock and roll and classic country music. And we do a little bit with guns and shooting together. Mm-hmm. Not much lately, because we've been busy with other stuff. So that's the activities kind of thing. I like to read, and Kay likes to watch TV. So those are two things where we overlap some, but not a lot.
Well, Mr. Anderson, thank you for inviting me into your home.
Why are you crying? She's crying, folks!
No! Why is she crying?
So thank you very much for doing this.
Very dear friends of mine, both my parents have passed away.